I have done nearly 400 videos on YouTube, and this is arguably my most important one. When I first consecrated myself to the Blessed Mother in 2003, I did so through the Militia of the Immaculata, an organization started by St. Maximilian Kolbe specifically to combat Freemasonry. I didn't even know what that was, and over the years, I have learned a lot about it. First of all, you see it everywhere in our country of the United States. When you go to cemeteries, you see the symbols on the tombstones. When you're driving around, you see the stickers on the cars and on the license plates. If you were ever part of a fraternity or a sorority, you were consecrated under that. My wife and I were both part of one. I was part of a service fraternity. I didn't even know that it was connected to these types of things, but both of us had to do 20-minute long renunciations in order to close those doors. If you have had any financial transactions with those organizations, you have already opened the doors, such as Shriner Hospitals and many other examples that we cannot even begin to get into. Freemasonry is one of the greatest evils facing our country that no one is acknowledging and no one is talking about because very few of us understand even what it is. And when I was reading the book, The Miraculous Metal Pendant of Power, there were at least 8 to 10 stories of conversions of Freemasons. Those were one of the ones that drew me out the most. That's why this portion of the interview is so important for you to listen to see that this is a Freemasonry crushing weapon given to us from heaven above, that if only we give it to them and they wear it around their neck, we can convert them. This is the evil behind all the liberalism, behind the media, behind all these things. So if we fight those, we will not win until we fight the beast behind it. My friends, if you want to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Let's get into this. So a lot of the stories that drew me were ones like his, and also the strong history that it has in converting the Freemasons. I know that that's something that St. Maximilian Kolbe really kind of used it. And that's something that we don't really talk about a lot very much about Freemasonry. And so I thought that was really interesting as something that we need again. Talking about that, are there any stories that kind of come to mind for you as like ones that were really particular in regards with the metal and conversion with Freemasonry?
So for St. Maximilian Kolbe, that was the original impetus for him to start his worldwide movement, which also involved a whole city called the City of Mary and friars and called the Militia Immaculata, that anyone can join. And he saw when he was a student, I think he was a doctoral student in Rome, and he saw these forces, they still parade around against the Pope, waving flags, extolling Freemasonry, and organizing in kind of like a quote-unquote army, as it were, a strong gathering. They did this in, you know, in Italy recently. This is going on now. And he said, wait a minute, why don't we've got Jesus, we've got the Blessed Mother, why aren't we getting together and calling on what is good and defeating the enemies of the church? Why are we so lackadaisical about this? So he had a strong military background, and in terms of his father was a fighter, and you know how he died in Auschwitz. So he was molded by God into a different kind of warrior. So he had a fighting spirit. Mm-hmm. And that was something that God perfected and had him be a soldier for Our Lady. So I love how much he fought. Like, they had a big printing press because he realized, speaking of the written word being so important, he said, if there's no Catholic books, if there's no Catholic magazines, nothing in print, we will die as a faith. So he made sure that his magazine would be distributed, and everything he had to do had opposition. And I think that that's important for us to know, that if we're going to do something good, it's not going to be easy. It's going to have opposition, and to expect that and to persevere if it is God's call. And so, but he did it with such trust and such joy, such amazing faith. You know, he'd have he had a collapsed lung from tuberculosis. He'd be coughing up blood, smiling like, she might take me, she might not. He had such trust in the Blessed Mother that even when he was dragged off to Auschwitz, he was praising God, thanking the Blessed Mother, saying, you know, they obviously have something in mind for us. Do not worry. So he was such a light. And so when it comes to the medal, he believed and experienced that if he could get this medal around someone's neck, he'd won, that God had won. And it might take time or it might happen immediately, but he had such faith and such confidence in her intercession and in her words when she appeared to St. Catherine Laboure in 1830. Mm-hmm. That's how it all began. And she said, those who wear this, especially around their neck, will receive graces, and those who wear it with confidence will receive great graces. In essence, she said that. So hence, when he was able, he would travel and make sure that he gave one, and it ended up around the neck of a Buddhist or a Jewish person or an atheist, or he didn't care, or someone who was unrepentant. You know, if he saw that medal around their neck, he felt like he'd won, that God had won. And he was very inspired. And toward the beginning of the book is the story of Alphonse Ratisbon. And he mm-hmm. was an agnostic, rabid, anti-Catholic, Jewish, wealthy man who was connected to the Rothschild family. And his conversion was extraordinary, and a convert to the faith. Theodore Bussier made sure and worked so hard to get that medal around his neck. Mm-hmm. And it all started there. So I think I lost my train of thought. There was something else I wanted to say toward the beginning. Freemasons, I remember. Yes. I had a story. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, when I first had my conversion, at the time I was listening to a lot of cassettes, because they still had cassettes out along with CDs, by this website, they may still be active, called Catholicity. And they were actually consecrated to the Blessed Mother in the spirit of St. Maximilian Kolbe. They were part of the Militia of the Immaculata, which is the organization that he founded. That was the first I heard of consecration, did it immediately. And that's sort of what kind of began my journey with the Miraculous Medal. You know, and when I learned a lot about St. Maximilian Kolbe, I mean, this man was a genius. You know, he had a double doctorate in philosophy mm-hmm. and theology, like at mm-hmm. the age of 25 or 26. Mm-hmm. I mean, just an absolute genius. Mm-hmm. And so you figure he would think things through and the conclusions that he would come to would be far superior to ours. And if he concluded that by placing a miraculous medal around someone's neck, that was his victory, then we should have that same confidence. We should, even if we don't understand why, think, I need to do that too. I need to have that same confidence of, let me just get this around someone's neck and the Blessed Mother has them, you know, because it's amazing to have that and to hear that story. As you were talking, I was thinking how it's so interesting that at that time, the world was at war. But so was he. You know, he was fighting right there in Europe. And then he goes off to Japan to start a monastery there, like right at the epicenter of where the war was happening. So he wasn't kind of hiding away somewhere. He was in the middle mm-hmm. of the action, fighting this spiritual battle. And we all know that it's every day, it seems to heat up now, this immense mm-hmm. spiritual battle in the midst of the church and all over. And we could be that same thing. We have to get in the heat of it and really use this as our weapon.
Yeah, I mean, there's stories like, I just read this the other day, and I didn't include it in the book, but you can't include everything you find fascinating. But when he was printing up his magazine, the powers that be where he was living made sure that he couldn't access paper. They blocked the production of paper so he couldn't get it. So he had to order it from Russia, from Soviet Union, you know. So he found a way, right? And so I love his perseverance. And he was saying, well, okay, you block it from us, I'll find it somewhere else. And he was never one to roll over and just give up at all. And I think that's a message that the Blessed Mother has for us, that he saw this huge evil, the Freemasons parading around. And I think our modern Catholic response is, unfortunately, darn it, that's too bad. What is someone else going to do about that? Or I don't believe that they're real or they're any harm. So we're inept and we're weak. And we need to understand that that is a huge threat, more so now than in his day. And that's something we're not doing much about, and we don't speak about, and we pretend or don't know that it's there. So when I was learning about the medal and Lord was sending me stories, like with Deacon Sandoval, there was a friend of mine, and I was talking to her on the phone, and I told her about the book, and she said, oh yeah, did I tell you that story about the former Freemason I met in Medjugorje? And I said, no, tell me what's going on. So another story that ended up in the book was a young man in his 20s, and she met him in Medjugorje. She said it was a really intelligent, handsome brunette Frenchman who seemed to really want to tell her this story. And she wasn't sure why, but she listened to him intently and filmed it. And he told her that just a few months prior, he had an instance that saved his life. Before that, he had separated completely from his Catholic family and his Catholic faith because this Mason, who's a 32nd degree Mason, which is the second to the highest, the 33rd degrees are utterly satanic, by the way, and nothing you'll find from their own literature or online would betray that. It seems like a charity organization and everything's fine. It's not. And he was learning more and more about being a Mason and became a pupil. But then he was handed by this 32nd degree Mason one of these exclusive books that only the higher degree Masons ever get to see. And his sensitivities realized this is not okay. This is evil. And he tried to get out. Eventually he did, but with great personal cost, because he entered a severe depression. The whole thing just took away his joy month after month, to the point of even when he left, he couldn't regain himself. He was despondent and one day decided to take his life. And he walked to his car in Paris, and in the gutter was a little shiny object. And he reached down and picked it up, and it was glowing, or sparkling rather, from the sunlight. And he realized it was a Macless medal. And for him, that was a huge sign. He said, okay, this is meaningful. And he therefore, instead of driving to a place where he was planning to kill himself, he drove to a church. The church was closed and he was crestfallen when he got there. But as he was standing there wondering what to do, a priest walked up to him and said, can I help you? The priest opened up the church doors, unlocked them. They went in. And not only did this young man, this former Freemason, end up confessing, but they talked for hours. And that was the beginning of him reuniting with his Catholic faith and his family. And my friend met him in Medjugorje because he traveled all the way over there to thank the Blessed Mother for saving his life.